listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Great city of Chicago. Thank you, Danny Zetterman. Thank you, Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss. Hoodie and I back at 7 a.m. tomorrow. And thank you to all of our amazing callers, all the passion that you bring. Thank you to Jeff Dickerson, our Bears insider. Crosstalk brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Fall Thoroughbred Racing's back at Hawthorne Racecourse with a newly remodeled rooftop deck for both sports betting, Points Bet Sportsbook, and horse racing. Club Hawthorne. Get in on all the action with Hawthorne.
Carmen Yurko.
Bop, 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 bop. What's up, fellas?
Problems, boys. Problems, problems, problems for the
problems.
Bears.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Problems, problems, problems. I was hoping this team would be viable up until Thanksgiving and maybe into December. But unfortunately for us, they find ways to lose. Instead of finding ways to win, they find ways to lose. Two times they've had leads in the fourth quarter, and twice they've given up the lead and they've lost games. 2 weeks in a row. So it's a little bit disheartening and disgusting, but...
It is. It's a five-game losing streak.
It's a win-lose league, though. That's it.
It's tough, man. And that's eight straight years out of bye they lose, guys. That is damn near impossible to do. Eight straight
Currently
years.
The longest streak, by the way.
Currently the longest streak. And it's they're 2 years shy of like the longest streak of the last 30 years. Right? We looked it up. The longest streak since 1990. Meller had Nitzberg look it up for us last week.
That's right.
Going back to 90 when sort of the modern day iteration of these buys started, the Raiders hold that dubious distinction of 10 consecutive years in the early 2000s and the aughts, and the Bears are now two seasons away from tying that mark. It is – and as Adam Hogue pointed out, they've got losses now in under Matt Nagy out of the bye against Brock Osweiler, Tyler Huntley, and Teddy Two Gloves.
They're 0-8, their last eight out of the bye, as you said, and four under Matt, and it just doesn't look like it's getting any better.
Brock Osweiler. Tyler
it's unbelievable.
Huntley.
Remember they paid Brock Osweiler? Didn't they agree to take on the contract to get a draft pick out of him?
Yes. Sweet Jesus. I mean, this is the team we have to cheer for.
Well, I know. Oh, we don't have to cheer for them. I mean, there's going to be an AFC team here pretty soon.
No, there's not.
You think?
you read that, right?
Indianapolis will block that. They'll call it, you know, how close. They don't want to lose any Northwest Indiana fans to an AFC Chicago team, for those that are Colts fans.
Now you know the NFL, man. If they want to push it through, they'll push it through.
Oh, I know. I heard the 40-team league. They think they can have that many.
40 teams.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So what are the markets here? I said San Diego and Toronto.
Sure. Toronto, yeah.
I don't want the Queen and the U.S. government taking my money. That's a double tax scenario, isn't it?
So, I mean, are you looking at San Antonio?
Portland.
Does Oakland get a team?
But the teams like Oakland and San Diego can't keep their old teams. They can't build stadiums.
They had a stadium. Jack Murphy Stadium was fine. They wanted a new one. The San Diego Chargers weren't happy. So instead of getting a new one, they get to share one with the Rams.
San Antonio. Is Jerry good with that? Jerry Jones?
Well, I don't know if Jerry is or not, but he's had such a head start. I mean, he would be the one filing some theoretical complaint, but it would be Houston that would have a problem too.
Sure.
So they wouldn't be the only ones. There would be people that had problems. But, I mean, if you go around the country, you've got to have – I mean, Jayville's barely got 1 million people, and they're having problems supporting them to the point they want to move them to London. So will one of those teams be in Europe?
This is what it's come to. We got to hope for an AFC team to cheer for. I mean, like, that's what the Bears are doing to us.
I mean,
we're trying to figure out which AFC team can come to town so we can cheer for.
The problem is that, you know, the Bears were in both games, but it doesn't look great. You know what I'm saying?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't look like anything that resembles Kansas City. It certainly does. Well, maybe Kansas City now with the way they play. They're settling for field goals.
Good game yesterday.
Yeah, it was a competitive game. Yeah. Or, you know,
different than we thought it would be. But
it doesn't look like the Green Bay Packers.
No.
It doesn't look like that. So even though you're competitive and you're in games and you've got lead in fourth quarters, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look competent. That's the problem with Nagy.
Cap, ask your question about Aaron Rodgers. You got a question about Aaron Rodgers. You didn't get on the show.
You mean Aaron Rodgers.
How do you hurt your toe in quarantine?
Well, wow. Easy. You stub it anywhere. You're walking in the dark and you stub it against your bed. I mean, you've never like walked around Taiwan your house and all of a sudden had a problem?
What is that Taiwan basket?
You got caught in the basket, maybe.
Yeah.
Twist it around a little bit.
Put the foot in the basket.
Usually you'd get a knee injury there.
I think a hip or a knee.
Yeah,
I'm with Yurko.
From past experience.
Oh, a hip, a knee. That's like an oblique, right, Yurko? You tear an oblique or something in there?
Stresses. Oh, my heavens.
Is that your experience there, Carm, the oblique?
Oh, yeah. You get a little oblique, a little tweak of the oblique.
By the way, Olin wanted me to ask you, Yurk, what would you say your strongest attribute as an NFL player was? Because he said...
My mind.
No, that's not what he said.
My flexibility.
That's exactly what he said.
I know.
He goes, let me just tell you something. This dude would bend in directions. We think he's going to have a broken back, and he'd spring up and make the tackle.
They'd have me sideways. I'd be bent over sideways. And, I mean, I'm talking they got the better part of me. And then they'd slip off, and I'd just come back to kind of like where I was.
Exactly what he said. He goes, dude, I'm telling you, we had that guy bent one day. I'm like, oh, God. And bam! Yurko's there for the tackle. He goes, I've never seen a human being built like that bend like that.
Valerio had a better part of me in the opener against the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. And they run in Chauncey in a little P10 on, a 2-point conversion play. Down on goal. It was a third down play, third and one at the goal, third and goal at the one. And Valerio had me, and then his arm slid off of me. I came back, and I ended up tackling Chauncey. They settled for a field goal. We came down and scored a touchdown. So it made it 27-21. We made it 28-27. Win the game. Jimmy Smith put the ball on the carpet. The Bears couldn't recover. Oh, all types of great stuff.
I remember that.
That was Olin's rookie year.
See, a good video man is able to shadow Yurk in that spot, and and the room goes, whoa!
It would look bad at times. You guys were talking about the extra point, the one or the two.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it doesn't matter if he goes for the one or the two, as long as he makes a choice and he sticks with it and goes with it. If you're going to go for two, go for two. Why would you go for one? Well, I'd go for one because I would put them in a precarious situation in that regard. Make it a 14-9 game. They scored to make it 15-9. They scored the touchdown like they did. Now the onus is upon them to make the two-point conversion to make it a three-point game. So you were banking on them missing an extra point somewhere down the line?
Well, my point was...
But they're converting extra points at 92.9. They're converting two-point conversions at 55.
55.3.
So I'm planning on my defense stopping them anyway. But if I... plus, you have your timeouts if you make the decision. If there's no indecision, you make the one, 14-9. They score a touchdown. They make it 15-14. Now the onus is on them to make and convert on a two-point conversion. So I've got a 45% chance of stopping them there.
Yeah, it was so late in the game that the guys I was working with, at TV, and I were looking, and they all said, well, hold on a second. If you go up five and they get a touchdown, whether they make the extra point or kick it in the freaking lake, you lose. But if you kick the extra, or you get the two, you go up six, there is a modicum of a slim chance that... Bad
7%.
But I just told you how it had to happen.
But there wasn't enough time.
Now you would have had the extra timeout because there would have been no indecision if you just sent your extra point team out there. You send them out there, you've got an extra timeout. The first play to Mooney was open, and Andy Dalton missed him when they gained possession with 24 seconds left on the clock. So all you've got to convert, you get the ball down to the 34-yard line, you give yourself a chance to kick a 51-yarder. They were at the 50 when they took the final sack. The line of scrimmage was at the 50, the final play of the Hail Mary that never happened. This team doesn't like Hail Marys. They like to get sacked on Hail Marys, and they like to try impossible
65-yard field goals.
Which is the dumbest thing in the world that they did, 2 weeks ago. But that's besides the point. But there, and again, whether you go for two, I don't think there's a set science on it.
Right.
Whether you go for two or you go for one, to me, doesn't make a difference. You just have to make a decision. It's the indecision.
Yes.
It's him waffling over what he wants to do and then taking a timeout that costs you later on in the game. It did cost him later.
The probability charts, I was looking because Yurko brought this up during the meeting. I thought it was crazy that you'd go. I just thought, what's the point of going up? Five there. It doesn't seem to make much sense when you have a four-point lead. Yurko laid out his argument. I said, I see what you're saying. The probability charts do say go for two. 538's chart is sort of is along the lines with Yurko saying it's extremely close where either is acceptable, but and I think Yurko's grander point is you can't have any indecision. They
right.
should all
that's,
have their
I mean,
charts
the
on the sideline.
I don't
side
care if you go for one or two.
Right. Right.
You
like,
gotta
and,
make a choice.
And to Yurko's point, yeah. the 538 did have – I did find some stuff on some of their – on one of their charts that says when in that situation, it is so close that the
right. –
your probability only increases by 0.2 of a point if you go for two and make it. So they're basically saying it's kind of a wash.
Right. It's a coin flip.
Dick Vermeil's probability chart, which a lot of people still use, believe it or not, even though it's like 40 years old,
yeah.
does say go for two in that situation. 538 say it's almost a coin flip.
Yeah.
So I see where Yurko's coming from. I thought it was kind of crazy in the moment, but what really drives us all nuts is their indecision.
Right.
And aren't they, as a group, don't they have their chart? Don't they have their analytics team that has their chart every scenario, every situation? This is what we're going to do. Why is there so much indecision on that sideline? It happened three times in the second half yesterday. It cost them three timeouts when they yep. probably didn't have to burn any of them. Maybe one of them, I could see. But it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's
that you
what
have
we're
that kind
clamoring
of,
about. That, we're clamoring about indecision.
It is right? ridiculous that it is indecision. Like, you should be able to know in this scenario, hey, it should be an automatic. It should be a green light. Go for
yes.
it, right? Because here's why. Why do you hire all these coaches? More
correct.
So than the head coach. Why do you have all these coaches? That should be immediately buzzed in the headset. Here's what we're going to do in this spot.
And yep. if your chart says it's a wash there, then like Yurko said, then send your point after team out there. Kick the stupid field goal for crying out loud. And
right.
you can explain it afterwards. You can say, look, this is our chart. This right. is our math. This is what we felt was the proper thing to do there.
And
fine.
Only one coach I ever looked to after a touchdown to say, hey, this is what we're doing. And that was the head coach. Coughlin had one finger in the air or two. That's it.
Yeah.
One or two. That's all.
He didn't not go, time out, I don't know.
Right. Not 100 people to look at. Not 1,000 voices. Holmgren goes, if we score, we do this. He already knew it.
There you go.
All these coaches, Shula knows, one or two. These guys know, one or two. And you look at them, they're signaling it, and everybody knows what the hell's going on. So the indecision, or if you got people influencing you in your ears, and you haven't already played that scenario out, that to me is ridiculous, too. That's
yeah.
that's why Nagy's a problem. And hopefully they make the right decision at the end of the year. I don't even think a 7-game win streak solves
it. I don't think so either. I don't think it will
I think this is a fait accompli. Yeah. I think this is done. It's a done deal.
Agreed.
And hopefully Ryan Pace gets washed out with it.
You see a burned out coach. You know it when you see it, right? You know what it looks like, right, Yurk?
Oh.
I mean, look at him. Deer in the headlights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Terrible in the press conference.
And
even more importantly, in the game scenarios. Again, a lot of it, and you've pointed out to us over the years about certain things that players just have to do. But when you have decisions that are tight like that in the fourth quarter, late in games, you have to be able to know where the direction of the team. And he just didn't have it.
John, if I said to you, I'm not saying I want this. If I said to you, they're going to kick Ryan Pace upstairs because they literally have no football mind at all in the building. And then they're bringing in a new GM, a new coaching staff, overhauling scouting. Player development, would you be okay with
that? Listen, Ryan Pace, he went to Eastern Illinois University, so he gets the benefit of the doubt from me all the time.
What?
But Ryan Pace is as big of a problem as Matt Nagy is.
Don't disagree,
and
but then who's
anybody,
doing the hiring?
Anybody. Well, I don't want Matt Nagy to. I mean, I don't want Ryan Pace doing the hiring. He brought me Matt Nagy.
I don't disagree.
No. When it gets cleaned
That's what
out,
I keep it, hearing in
it,
my
it
two.
It gets cleaned out the whole way, period. They sweep it out. The big broom, too, with the stiff bristles.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That really causes
like
all, you know, they can really, yes,
yeah.
really get the leaves,
the old,
get the dust,
the old
they get
school
everything.
One.
Yeah.
You can get from courtesy home center.
Right, not the soft bristles.
Yeah.
Not the ones that bend, like just for dust.
No. Yeah.
No.
That's what I keep hearing
yeah.
they might do.
The ones you used to get from Handy Andy, right?
Handy Andy.
Now,
I understand why they want to, Ace Hardware. I understand why they want to keep a football guy around because they don't know anything. I mean, Ted doesn't know any. What does Ted know?
Nothing.
Ted knows how to take two beans from the left and move two beans over to the right. He's a bean counter. That's what he does. There's no natural football instinct in that family, period. The only one that has it is 94 and 95. And, you know, she was cheering when they scored the touchdown late.
She's 98.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how old she is, but she's the one that's got the natural football instinct, but she's not going to be around long.
That's right.
No.
Yeah. So, and they don't probably let her make the decisions that she needs to make.
No, I don't think so. She's probably the only one that's got any sense about it when it comes to football, and they don't listen.
Well, it's not the showman. Who was the showman that used to sing? Remember that guy?
Pat, I think. Isn't it?
Sammy Davis?
No. Pat McCaskey. Remember?
I think it's Pat.
He used to hand out the awards and he'd,
Linebacker.
Imagine them around the holidays just singing show tunes.
Put him in the charge.
Come on, Uncle Pat. Can you sing us a song again?
I think Brian would be next up if they demoted George.
What about the singer,
What difference
though?
Does it make?
Do you remember that song you used to sing?
What difference?
Oh, Brian Piccolo, you are not a gigolo.
I actually hear from some of the guys who played up there that Brian actually knows football, but he worked in the training office.
He was a trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they said he actually knows football.
So then why doesn't the family know that and say, hey, maybe Brian should be in charge?
Brian's too far down the totem pole, and he was youthful. God. He was youthful. Too young.
Right.
Yeah, so that's probably what happened.
It's just a bad, bad deal, man.
Rock-a-bye your baby. Hi, I'm Harry Schmirler.
I didn't say Fred Schmirler. Teams that have a coach there
for a fourth year learn how to win games. This team is inventing ways to lose games. Yeah, they are finding unique and wonderful ways to lose games, and that's too bad.
They're loving me in Deerfield right now with the Schmirler reference.
Exactly.
They're loving me.
That's it.
I love it!
By the way, that game's over if the interception is made and Vildor doesn't get the interference.
Yeah, the interference.
That wasn't
the ball's over third. Well, listen, the catch wasn't made anyway.
Yeah.
So even if there wasn't interference, the catch was not made. Did they have their first interception, Carm, since Cincinnati?
Since the Vegas game, right?
That's a long time.
Yeah. Nice job in the turnover bucket, huh?
Yeah.
That thing's got cobwebs.
Boy, cobwebs. They can't even find it. They had to put a missing bucket in action. Nobody brings it out anymore. There haven't been turnovers. Nobody brings it out.
Hey, who's got the bucket?
We don't need it.
Don't worry about it.
MBIN.
We don't need that.
Missing bucket in action.
You guys had the question on Fields earlier, too. If he's 100% healthy, he plays. If he's not, don't play him. That's my theory. Four days rest.
But when Matt is asked about if he's healthy, is he your starter? This was the question.
Oh, I know what the answer. You got to transcribe his answer.
The answer.
Have broken ribs.
Again, I don't know any of that right now. You know, so.
Was it one play that he got hurt on, or was it a cumulative thing?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'll have to find out. You know, we'll start getting into some of that here later on.
I know you don't have an update on Justin's health, but if he is healthy on Thursday and able to play as a year starter.
Again, I gotta see exactly what type of injury he has. You know, because it is his ribs, so we got to see. Okay. How much effect does that have for him? So we'll get into all that, and that's not where we're at right now.
That wasn't the question, Matt. If he's healthy, is he your starter? You're damn right he's our starter.
He wouldn't answer it earlier this year either. He doesn't.
Right.
I don't get the whole thing.
He's
cloud
an avoidance.
Of secrecy. It's,
avoidance.
Yeah.
We got to avoid. All right, you guys got to go. You stayed too long.
The snaggy guy.
Okay, thanks, Rex.
Time to go.
Time to go.
Time to go.
We're having fun.
I understand, but it's time to go. You have outstayed your welcome.
Clock discipline.
Yeah.
By the way, Carm.
Yes.
You're going to love it down there.
I can't wait. Be about 3-4 weeks. Looking forward to it.
Went right by your resort. Carm, trust me.
Can't wait. Ugh. I'm dreaming of palm trees at Christmas.
There you go. Hoodie, I will see you in the morning, my friend.
All right, take care.
Let me know about that basketball podcast, Under the Hood.
Okay, bye.
Okay. No charge. Bye, John. We're out of here.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you tomorrow at 7. Carmen Yurko next. See ya.
This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Well, Eric, here we go again. It's Bears Monday, and it's exhausting.
It's another loss, Carm.
Being a fan of this team, I swear to God, they find different ways to rip our hearts out each and every week. Back-to-back games in which the Bears take a late lead, only to see, unfortunately, the defense collapse. I mean, geez, you give up 16 points, but we're putting a lot of it on the defense. I mean, you can't allow Tyler Huntley, for crying out loud, to go down the field like that, to convert a 3rd-and-12, to throw passes of 21 and 29 yards, not to mention the pass interference penalty to boot, and you let him go right down the field and score the go-ahead touchdown, and the Bears lose again. And Matt Nagy is running out of answers. The Bears fall to 3-7. Now they've got the short week, and get ready for the Andy Dalton versus Tim Boyle show. I mean, I know that's what we were all excited about when we saw Bears-Lions on Thanksgiving Day, let me tell you. Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be at least it's the first game, first of three.
Get it over with.
Get it over with. A chance to get to 4-7, I guess.
Yeah, right.
4-7 with a chance to run out the table and qualify for the playoffs. I can't even convince myself and muster up the energy to try to fool myself this
morning. And you're normally like the really optimistic one when it comes to that. Right. But at 3-7, I mean, now you know your probability now is somewhere around 2% to make the playoffs.
You've dug yourself quite the hole. Yeah. And not only that, but Minnesota at 5-5 now has the impetus to want to get things done.
Yeah,
Minnesota looks like they're playing a little bit better. They beat the Packers yesterday. They were 3-5 a couple of weeks ago. Now they find themselves at 5-5. They're in the middle, believe it or not, of the wild card hunt. That's where they're at. That's where they find themselves. So this thing will play out a little bit differently with this extra game this year. You know, with the one bye now, I think we're going to see more teams playing football at the end of the year competitively and wanting to get after it. My son, who is a novice gambler, screenshotted me something yesterday. He was watching with buddies. When the Bears went up with 1:42 left to play in the game, Carm, he went to his app and he found 9-1 that the Baltimore Ravens were going to come back and win the game.
Oh, don't tell me he bet
9-1. Oh, he bet it, Carm. He bet it. He screenshotted it. He bet it. And he goes, Pappy, look what I did. He goes, I just knew the Bears were going to find a way to lose. And that's what they did. The last 2 weeks, they have found a way to lose. They were winning ball games late in fourth quarters. And it's almost like it's a rookie coach with rookie players. They find ways to lose games. And it's beyond the point of being ridiculous. So do I want to cheer the way Roquan Smith played yesterday? Absolutely. I think Roquan Smith was a hero yesterday.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Do I want to cheer Quinn and say 3.5 sacks and 3 other TFLs and what a wonderful game you had, even though you're the guy that lost contain on a key third down play on their first field goal drive? I go, do I want to cheer Quinn? Of course I do. We signed the guy last year and he wasn't worth crap.
I know.
And now all of a sudden this year he looks like he's a player. He's got 10 sacks this year already, Carm. And even without Khalil Mack, he's finding a way to put pressure on the quarterback. They had six yesterday.
He looked like the week off did him some good, it looked like.
Right, but that's the same defense that crapped the bed yesterday.
I know.
They had to come up with a key stop, and they crapped the bed. That's what they did.
Like, and that's so right. I mean, believe me, I get it. It's so right. It's disheartening to see. We can make all the excuses in the world, and they're beat half to hell. There's no Khalil. There's no Akeem Hicks.
They didn't have Lamar
Jackson.
They didn't have Hollywood Brown.
Thank you.
They've got everybody is missing guys at this time of the year.
Thank you.
You've got to find a way to make plays, and you got to do what it takes to win games. And unfortunately for the Bears, under the tutelage of a Matt Nagy, it's not getting done.
The other thing that is so frustrating, though. And I don't want to take the I don't want to let the defense off the hook, nor should we. Yurko's right. They didn't have two of their best offense, certainly their best offensive player, their cheat code, their quarterback, and Hollywood Brown was out. But, my God, you scored 13 points again at home.
Yeah.
Coming out of the bye against – this is not Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. This is, as we told you last week, a Baltimore Ravens defense that started the week ranked 25th in the NFL in DVOA. 25th. You came out of the bye, and you scored 13 points. Like, how long do we have to keep doing this? 13 points. You have now lost eight straight years out of the bye. It's been 9 seasons since the Bears fired Lovie Smith. 9. Do you know what their record is, Yerk? It's 58-80. That's a 420 winning percentage. This franchise over the last 9 seasons, since they fired Lovie Smith, is looking at a 420 winning percentage. I mean, like, it's like, how long do we have to do it? Do we have to sit here and debate the same silly things? Now we're going to talk about an Andy Dalton, Justin Fields quarterback controversy? I'm supposed to do that?
I don't have the energy
for
it.
Are you kidding? I don't have the energy for it. I'm with Yurko.
I don't have the want for it.
I can't do it. It's not going to happen here.
It's simple.
I cannot do it. I cannot do an Andy Dalton, Justin Fields quarterback controversy.
Carm, it's simple to me. It's plain as easy. If the kid's healthy, he plays. If he's not healthy, he doesn't play. That's it.
End of story.
End of story. No mystery whatsoever. No shenanigans. No wordplay whatsoever. We'll get the x-rays. We'll see. It's 4 days. I don't think he'll be able to play. Boom.
Probably not.
Andy
he probably
Dalton's
won't
be playing.
That's a short week. The Bears are installed as about a 3.5-point favorite for what it's worth.
I don't know how.
Justin has some ribs.
He's got some ribs, by the way.
I've got ribs,
that,
too. We've
I
all
smoked,
got ribs.
I'm going to smoke some ribs this weekend for Thanksgiving in honor of him. Yeah, I love
Justin
that
has some ribs.
He's got some ribs. Yeah.
How about those two? To
he's
add a
got
little
a hammy,
he's got to add a little fuel to your fire, Carm.
He's got a knee.
The fashion in which they scored their 13 points yesterday, one comes on a broken coverage where Marquise Goodwin is running scot free down the field. So yeah, you scored the touchdown, but it's not like there was any sustained offense on that drive. And Darnell Mooney's bubble screen, kudos to him. It's nice to see Darnell Mooney make a play, but again,
but that's just bad defense on Baltimore's part.
So
I mean, over pursuit and.
Guys, 13 points came on two plays.
They ran 57 plays, guys.
It was horrible. To
they
the
ran 57 70, plays.
To the 70 plays ran on the other side. They ran 70. They had the ball for 38-plus minutes, Carm.
38, almost 39 minutes for Baltimore. The Bears ran 57 plays. I mean, they scored 13 points. Two of them are really, like Meller said, their touchdowns were broken plays.
By the way, Baltimore's blown coverage was wonderfully matched by Bears' blown coverage when Sammy Watkins got down to the 3-yard line.
I know.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Watkins
is
standing there. They take the outside receiver. They stack him behind Watkins. Watkins goes to the outside. He goes to the inside. And that's all it took. Everybody takes off with the stacked receiver, the guy that was behind. He breaks to the inside. What did he have? Did he have a Rolex watch on? Did he have a bag of gold on him? Did he have that key little thing in Quidditch, the golden ball? Did he have that? What did he have that everybody dashed off to go get him?
Can I ask you guys to, Carm, I want to ask you guys a question about that specific play when we come back, before that. I have to ask you guys something about
that. All right, so a question on that final deciding fateful drive. Meller's got a question about that. If the Bears lose to Tim Boyle, who threw for about 5.2 yards per attempt yesterday, if the Bears lose on Thanksgiving, could they do something they've never done before? Could they come in Friday morning at the end of the week and say, listen, we're making a coaching change? 312-332-3776. The Bears have lost 5 in a row. Short week, quick turnaround. Please don't tell us you have questions about any quarterback controversy either. Justin probably not going to play this week because he's hurt, but I don't want to hear about a quarterback controversy at this point. There's no sense in playing Andy Dalton when you're 3-7. 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000.
Pressure's coming. Quinn was providing it. The pass is caught by Watkins at the 4-yard line. What a play by Huntley.
No way, Jim. This is incredible. It's a busted coverage.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins wide open, not good. Romo and Nance on CBS. More on that crew coming up, especially Tony Romo. Boy, the EIU nepotism was, whew, my goodness gracious. So it is now Tyler Huntley, Teddy Bridgewater, and Brock Osweiler. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is a respectable enough quarterback. I shouldn't really lump him in. Brock Osweiler, that might be the, that's the worst. But, those are three of the quarterbacks out of the four that have beaten Matt Nagy coming out of bye. He's 0-4 as the head coach of the Bears out of bye. Bears, as we've talked about, somehow have lost 8 straight years out of their bye week. That is the longest such streak of ineptitude in the National Football League and getting dangerously close to the longest losing streak of that nature. Going back over the last 30-plus NFL seasons. So we've got that going for us, Bears fans. It's Carmen and Yurko on a Bears Monday as they have now lost 5 in a row. They're averaging a whopping 15.8 points per game during their losing streak. 15.8.
That's not good, Carm.
No, it's not. Meller had a question about the play we just heard. I guess the play before the play we just heard.
Correct.
That really set the Ravens up in primo position. Remember, that was a 3rd and 12, and Huntley completed it down the right sideline.
So my question to you guys, because I was in attendance at the game yesterday, and I thought to myself, this is not second guessing it. It was complete first guessing. It probably doesn't make a difference anyway. But Baltimore was called for a holding penalty.
I think I know where you're going with
and
this.
So my question is, when the Bears at that moment accept it, I was thinking, do you really want to do that? Because in a scenario where, I mean, Yurko can talk to this as well, the hardest thing for especially younger quarterbacks is when you get into the red zone and all of a sudden you're working with condensed space.
Right. Yes.
And so Huntley is already, you know, he's struggled throughout the day, and you can set him up in a situation where it's 4th and 3, or you can give the Ravens 2 downs and actually 10 extra yards to work with, which in that situation, because of the game situation, I'm not sure was necessarily your benefit. I was thinking, as a fan in that moment, I would have rather just seen them decline it and force the Ravens to go ahead and convert on 4th down.
I'll let Yurko kind of give the X's and O's maybe and what a coach, what his experiences would be. My gut instinct there, Yurk, is that you would want to back them up and take the yards. What do you think? Did they make a mistake there?
No, I think they'd want to back him up to also making they needed a touchdown. They were going for it no matter what. They needed a touchdown. Yes.
They needed to get to the end zone.
So they, I guess his thinking at the time is just keep backing him up. Eventually he's going to run out of downs. They wanted to make it impossible because it was going to be 2-down territory for them.
Sure, of course.
So if they didn't make it on 3rd and 2, they were going for it on 4th and 2. They had 2 plays to make 4 yards. They still had timeouts left on, you know, their side.
Well,
of the
it would have been
right?
when they made it 3rd and 12. Obviously, they're going to take 2 downs there. They would if they didn't pick it up.
Well, no. I'm talking about if it was 4th and 2. They just had the 1 shot. I get
correct.
It.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, if you decline it, it's 4th down.
I see what Miller's saying. I don't think it's a crazy. I mean, like my initial reaction is no. Go ahead, take the penalty because you want to back them up.
Yeah, and, 3rd and 12 was the 2 downs. They weren't going to stop.
Yeah,
that.
But I see what Miller's saying. I do.
And I wasn't
but
like...
But 4th and 2, the game's over if they don't make it.
Exactly. And that was my thought.
4th and 2, the game's over. You don't give them 2 cracks at 4th and 2. Looking at it now, the fact that you brought it up, I might have rolled the dice on the 4th and 2.
Because you're putting the pressure on a quarterback who's making his first career start, who has shown you all game long.
But it is also 4th and 2, and he's also shown you that he can beat you with his legs.
Right, but game's over there.
Well, I know, but I mean,
game's over.
It is, but I mean, he's kind of shown you all game he can beat you with his legs, you know, Meller? Like, I don't know. I mean,
I guess he also ran into several sacks, too, throughout the game.
Yeah, he did. Well, a young quarterback's going to do that, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying is I, up in the stands, was like, I don't love the idea of accepting it because I was concerned about giving them that extra down. Now, ultimately, they convert on 3rd and 13 or 3rd and 12, so it ultimately didn't matter, but the play calling obviously would have been different. On 4th and 2, I doubt they're running that same pass play to Sammy Watkins. They're probably being a little bit more risk adverse and trying something where, to your point, Carm, they're probably rolling out with Huntley on 4th and 2.
Give him 2 options. Give him two options.
That's what I would think. And let him pass use his legs. Run. Yeah, I mean, and so, you know, 4th and 2. Let's face it, with that kind of a mobile quarterback, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's a good. That's not a terrible talking point. It's not one of the things that I'm upset about. Matt, you know, upset about when we're discussing Matt Nagy and all the things he has done wrong.
If I have a dominant defense, I keep it at 4th and 2 and say, okay, let's go.
But you know,
this is our shot right here. Let's make it happen.
You're without Mac. You're without Hicks. Somebody else? Who else did they lose? Didn't they lose somebody else during
Eddie Jackson did not play.
Eddie Jackson didn't play. I thought they lost somebody else on the D-line rotation. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, you're out. You're without, you know, two of your big, you know, players on your D-line or linebacker.
Right, but you also have 6 sacks during the game, so you're being effective. Whatever you're doing, you're being effective. You know what I'm saying, Carm?
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing it right because you have pressured their quarterback all day.
And they had Mac.
Yeah.
They had Ladarius Mac.
They had Ladarius Mac. The different Mac.
Yeah, so if I had confidence in my defense, Carm, I would have gone 4th and 2.
You would have just said decline the penalty?
Decline the penalty. It's crunch time now. It's now or never.
So you think that means they don't have much faith in their defense?
Well, without the two guys that you mentioned, I think they don't have a ton of faith in there.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. So is that another one where we have to start poring over Matt Nagy's decisions? This is what happens when you're the coach in the NFL. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, and they botched a lot of things late game. You know, the communication issues. He can talk all he wants about the headset going out. I think there are bigger problems on that sideline. When you're at midfield, and at that point they were still down points, right? At the start of the fourth quarter.
Sure, yeah.
When you're at midfield and it's 3rd and 1 and you're dialing up a shot down the field, you're telling me you're not planning on going for it on 4th down? Why does it matter that there's a headset communication?
Right.
What difference does it make?
Right.
Why are you burning a timeout there? You sent the punt team on the field. Your quarterback afterwards said he took his helmet off and put it down because they said punt team. If you're going for – why are you not aware? Why is your team not aware? Why are you not knowing in that scenario when you're dialing up a deep shot down the field on third and one?
And Romo
you're not
pointed
going,
out, too.
I think he
Tony
did point
was
that
pointing
out.
It out going, what's going on here? What's
why
going
would you
on
be
here?
Punting the football? Why does it matter if the headset went out? And then to say that, no, you had that David Montgomery play in all week, why is there so much miscommunication that a timeout is even necessary – to begin with, oh, and then there's a holding penalty on that anyway. I won't put that on Nagy. I'll still put that on the players.
By the
like
way,
Jerko says penalties are on the players. But why is there so much miscommunication there?
Listen, I truly think the crowd affected him on that because the crowd was raining down boos.
So
when
you
the
think
punt,
he was going to punt?
I do. And I and listen, this is not a reflection of a good head coach by any means, but the crowd got very angry that that was actually a decision. I liked the idea of punting and letting your defense, which had shut down again, the guy who was making his first career start, pinning him back there. But no, I truly believe the crowd booing got into his head a little bit.
Mm. Then there's the other situation where they wasted a timeout because there was more confusion after the Bears did score the touchdown. Yurko had an interesting thought on that. We can continue to discuss, but it's just another it's another in the long list of things and missteps that Matt Nagy and this coaching staff seemingly make week in and week out, where there's miscommunication, they're not sure what they're doing, they're not all on the same page. Are they even making the right call to begin with or at the end of the day? 312-332-3776. That's the number. We'll debate what happened after the touchdown coming up next. This hour is brought to you by Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge, and happy hour's back. So get to Twin Peaks Monday through Friday from 2 to 7. And you can score sweet deals like a buck off all wine, liquor, cheap shots, and ice-cold 29-degree draft brews.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Ryan Pace has actually built a sneaky, really good group of players here on this side of the ball that's young. This team does have more depth than you realize. I mean, at the trade deadline, I talked to Ryan Pace, the general manager. They got a ton of calls about this front seven guys. I mean, that front four, because they have depth there, and these guys are all pretty solid good players.
Oh, boy, Yurk, the EIU nepotism was, I mean, Romo, effusive in his praise for the collection of talent that Ryan Pace has assembled on a 3-7 football team that can't score 20 points a game.
Must have been a side deal going on there.
That's some incredible amount of talent Ryan Pace has constructed.
Did they show me the wonderful picture of the first-round pick working out before the game? Did they say, well, look, what a talent. You drafted a guy with a bad back.
I mean,
you drafted a guy from Oklahoma State that's got a bad back. That doesn't work out well. Offensive linemen with bad backs don't work. You see Jimbo Colbert at the end of his career.
Oh, please.
Ask him how easy life is.
I'm hopeful that somehow this all does work out long term. But Tevin Jenkins had to abruptly end his college season about a year ago this time because of a back injury. And, of course, we know hasn't played all season. But Romo sees an abundance of offensive talent. And, yes, the 13 points, the 15.8 that they're averaging during their losing streak, the pretty much bottom five statistical category that they are. I mean, they're bottom five in almost every statistical category in the league, and they have been for years. I don't see all the talent. But, I get it. The EIU connection is strong. So Nance and Romo on the call on CBS yesterday. It's Carmen and Yurko. Another one of those things that was driving me crazy yesterday, we talked about the fourth down at midfield early in the fourth quarter and all the confusion there. If you're dialing up deep shots on third and one, you sure would think you're going to be going for it on fourth
right.
down. Nagy was confused early on. Meller thinks the crowd kind of baited him into that one, which shouldn't happen. I mean, my God, if you're going to let the crowd influence your decision-making. I also thought it was very bizarre that they sent the PAT team out after they scored the touchdown because they had already made it a four-point lead, and I thought, with a minute 40 left, what's the point of really going up 5 points? You might as well go out six. And if you do let them score a touchdown, at least there's a small chance. With Justin Tucker, it's probably like a 2% chance that he's going to miss a PAT. But at least it's going to give you a small chance. I figured, what the hell does 5 points do? It didn't seem to make much sense. There was confusion there. They had to burn another timeout, which could have came in handy.
Right. Your indecision there is problematic. That's what you have.
Yurko painted a scenario in the pre-show meeting where I went, I guess I can kind of see it. Like, it's maybe a little bit of a stretch. Go ahead and paint the scenario, though, why it's not crazy to kick the field.
Let's play, though, the first, before Yurko gives the explanation, let's play the Nagy
okay.
and the explanation.
Okay, go ahead.
On the final PAT, why would you ever send the kicking unit even out for that?
Well, again, that's part of the process of, do you go up, you know, do you go up five and do you go up six, you know, and that's a communication part on us.
What?
I think he's confused most of the time. That's what drives me nuts. Like, shouldn't he have it in his – shouldn't he know? Like, Yurko always says Holmgren knew when the drive started, when the drive ended. This is what we're doing. Right. Coughlin knew. Like, shouldn't Nagy know, guys – in his analytic team, if we score a touchdown, we're going to go for one or we're going to go for two. Shouldn't they know that, Yerk?
Yes. And most coaches do know that. So when they're going down and they score that touchdown, right away he should know. That he should be going, okay, when we score, we're either going to go for one or we're going to go for two. That's it.
Whatever their charts tell them.
Whichever one it is, yes. Either one or two.
Explain why you think it's not crazy to kick the point out.
This is why I think, and Carmen, there's evidence out there that you can go ahead and provide that will tell you exactly why it doesn't really make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But a decision does need to be made. If you take the one and you make it 14-9, it's a 5-point game, right?
Correct.
Okay, they score a touchdown. They take a lead 15-14.
They're up one.
They're up one 15-14. But the onus now goes upon that team, the Baltimore Ravens, and they've got to make a decision whether they're going to go for one or two.
Well, of course they'd go for two,
to
right?
Go up 2 points would make no sense, so of course they're going to go for two to make it a 3-point game.
Correct.
You only convert 55% of 2-point conversions.
This season it is 55.3%.
Right. 55%. So there's a 45% chance that they fail.
Correct.
And a field goal ends up winning for you. At the very worst, the field goal would tie the game for you. Okay? It would tie the game for you. At the very worst. But there's a 45% chance that when you get the ball back, you complete a couple 2-3 passes, you've got a game-winning field goal on your foot.
If they don't convert,
right.
Correct.
And then you furthermore went and looked at the evidence on 538 and the Dick Vermeil charts and give them the results there.
So the Dick Vermeil chart does say go for two. The 538 chart more backs up Yurko's point that it's really the coach's decision.
Right.
They basically have it as a wash. In that scenario, final 10 minutes, and it was even under 2 minutes, but they
50,
just give you
50.
Under 10. They give you under 10 going up four. It is only a 0.2 increase in your win probability by going and converting the two. So in their minds, it's
negligible.
Coach's decision.
Yeah, it's negligible.
And so, Yurk brings up a valid enough point, then that's fine. But what aggravates me so much is that he doesn't really seem to have a plan.
Right.
Why does he not know exactly what we're going to do? They've got to have their charts, whether they're using their own formula, the 538 chart, the old Dick Vermeil chart. He should know if we go up four, we're either kicking or we're going for two. Why is there confusion?
Automatic.
Why are they wasting a timeout?
Right. Automatic. Whether it's one or two, either way. But when everybody came out, and I heard it earlier this morning that there was 35-some-odd years of NFL experience, and they said you had to go for two, and I was like, well, not necessarily. But the thing you have to do is make a decision.
Thank you.
Are you going for one or two?
I
don't care which one you go for.
I appreciate
but you've got to make a decision.
Bringing it to our attention, Yurko.
Yeah.
It's a lot closer in the metrics.
Of course it is.
Yes.
Of course it is. And remember, Carm, I was a numbers guy long before Pro Football Focus ever came around town.
Yes, you were. You're the original Pro Football Focus.
I'm the original.
And one final thing on that, though, to the Yurko's point, if you're going to choose to go for the one, what's critical above all else, you choosing to kick the one, is that you maintain the timeout that you just blew.
Of course.
Because under Yurko's scenario, you're trying to kick either game-winning or game-tying field goal.
Correct.
And so that extra timeout in your pocket would probably be beneficial.
Right.
Well,
and I got a 45% chance of it being a game-winning field goal as opposed to a 7% chance with a missed extra point.
It's what's so frustrating about this whole thing is that – that there's too much confusion and miscommunication on that sideline constantly. All right, I know we got a bunch of calls.
Yeah, we got to take calls, Carl.
We'll start taking Bears calls. People want to vent. Is there some sort of controversy brewing at the quarterback position? Again, that seems crazy to me. We'll reiterate our thoughts on that. Quick turnaround here. Short week, Thanksgiving week. Bears play the first of three games on Thursday in the Motor City against the woeful, dreadful Detroit Lions. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.